This is your host, Tofu Dave, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie, on your community radio station, WCOM 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carborough. And today, I'm really excited to have on the line somebody I've been waiting to talk to ever since I read his new book called The Fire Agent, David Beyerwald. I think you're on the line, David.
Well, hello. How do you do?
Well, I'm doing great. I have so much to talk to you about that I don't know if I can do it in a quickie, but we'll try to be as quick as we can. You wrote I would call it historical fiction, centering around, I really from roughly the turn of the century through to the end of World War II is the center of the book, as I get it, and it's a fictionalized account of the true history of, if I've got it right, your grandfather and great-grandfather's lives, principally. Tell us a little bit about the center of the story here.
Well, the center of the story is really my grandfather, Ernst, who was trained as a spy from an early age. He sort of showed an aptitude for it. His father, my great-grandfather, was a headmaster of a very, very influential school that had been founded by the Rothschild banking family, and they took a very progressive view of their students, and, you know, if they had gifts, they encouraged them, and in Ernst's case, he had a gift for espionage.
And one of the contradictions early on in the book, of course, is they're living in Germany. They consider themselves upright, staunch German citizens, but, of course, they're Jewish.
Yes, the Nazis.
In Germany creates some problems, doesn't it? And some dual allegiances.
Yeah, I mean, that all got much worse after World War One. But, that all changed after World War One. And the anti-Semitism became unbearable, and the companies that were founded that were really primarily Jewish companies got rid of all the Jewish people gradually, and became the Nazis.
And in the book,
it became IG Farben. Yeah,
exactly. I was going to exactly mention that Krupps and Farben feature in the book. He's sort of your grandfather, I guess, is sort of working for them, but he has mixed feelings about it. And one of the phrases, I couldn't find the exact quote from the book, but he's working with a sensei, and somewhere along the line, the question comes up, well, how will you conduct yourself with honor if those that you're working for are dishonorable?
Yeah,
you struggle with in the book.
That is the Ronin's question. You know, the sensei was a Ronin, and in my book, the quote is, "How can you serve with honor when your masters have none?"
Yes.
That's. I'm glad you noticed that, because that's kind of one of the driving motifs of the book, really.
Yes, exactly, and it's really, as you come into the future and we think about the past, it's one of the things that I think a lot of us, if we think at all, struggle with all the time, because we live in an imperfect society.
Yes.
I've been largely self-employed, but I know every employer I've had has been flawed, and I have to struggle on some level of on the same question: how do I act honorably if I'm in?
Yeah. It's a question I think is particularly, if you're in something like the military or big business, any kind of, if you're completely disconnected from the responsibility of your role in things, because you're just following orders, we saw how that ended.
Not well. And I also
want to
you, I feel a personal connection to this story, because my grandparents followed a similar path. They were
no.
In the Netherlands, a third of the family tree was exterminated by the Nazis. But my grandparents on that side escaped first to England, and then my grandmother made it to New York.
Hence our ability to have this discussion.
Yes, so it really moved me. And another connection was that my grandmother, not only did she read Marx and Engels and Lenin, which is somewhat unusual in some circles, she also loved to play the piano, and music is a big part of the story in your book. Tell me a little bit about why music was such a big force for you in writing your family history in this novel.
Well, music is the connection that I felt with Ernst. You know, I've been a musician most of my life, and that gave me a particular kind of insight into his character, I think. And you know, if you Google, you know, there's an event in the middle of the book, and if you Google 10,000 Japanese sing Beethoven,
yes, precisely,
you'll see this moment. I actually saw a performance of this, much smaller, when I was a boy in Japan. I can't remember where. I think it was in Tokushima, but now it's every year 10,000 singers sing Beethoven's Ninth.
Wow.
With a heavily augmented Japanese National Symphony. So it's this massive orchestra, and it's a tribute. You know, I mean, it began in this POW camp that Ernst was in the orchestra, and I have his violin right in front of me.
No kidding. Fantastic
yeah.
story. And in the book, in the fictional book, The Fire Agent, again by David Bayerwald, you end on this note, don't you? I imagine that.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away everything, one of the characters at the end, I think, is a young David Bayerwald, if I have it right.
That's correct, yeah.
And, you know, we all have to make compromises in life. Another thing I think you must have struggled with in researching the history of your family for this book is the question of compromises. And again, we can't point fingers, and we certainly don't want to point fingers at our ancestors, but I struggled, frankly, reading your book with Ernst as a human being, because on one side he was so thoughtful. He's a musician. He's incredibly well read. He knows the humanities. But on the other side, he seems, in the book, to me, to be a very dark character. He's capable of extreme acts of cruelty and violence.
Yes.
And he recognizes what they are, but in some situations he can't help himself. And I really found it a little upsetting to read about somebody who's so privileged, so educated, so humanistic, but also who can be so cruel. How did you think about that as you were writing?
Well, people are funny, you know, and when you apply extreme pressure to people, it's not, you know, not coercive pressure, but, you know, but like the pressure of a high pressure, you know, scientific device or something. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know how people will react. And I, you know, again, it's hard to talk about this stuff without spoiling, but you know, when you're confronted with the kinds of evils and the kinds of shocks and horrors to things like the Rape of Nanking,
the concentration camps, of what's really going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, one of the things, a very early piece of documentation that I got out of my great uncle's papers at Columbia was a letter that he'd received from the soon to be dead fighters in Poland who were rebelling, and it's one of the most shocking documents I've ever read. You know, when I was in the rare books reading room at Columbia, you're in this kind of aquarium, and you're watched all the time. I was reading the letter, and this little tap on my shoulder, and this girl that works there, standing there, and with a napkin, she says, "So I'm sorry, sir. There's no crying on the manuscript."
well understood. Again, the book is a fictionalized true history, if I can say it that way. The Fire Agent. And we're speaking with David Bayerwell here on your community radio station, Between the Covers, our weekly literature quickie. Well, Mr. Bayerwald, there are so many more things we can talk about. One of the things I want to get to, and this again is going to be tricky as we wrap up our quickie here, is the ending of the book. And I can't, and I don't want to give it away, but it shocked me a little bit, in a good way. And how can I put the question so we don't give away what we shouldn't? We all make difficult decisions in life. And you have Ernest here, in the character in the book, making a critical decision about death. To what extent did you fictionalize this? To what extent is it true? And I don't know if you can answer it without giving it away. And if you can't,
well,
why did you choose to end it the way you did?
I just thought that there was no other way, really. You know, when you make those kinds of decisions, you have to, you know, it's a warrior ethic, which I think he was raised in, you know, I think to a certain extent I ended up with some residue of that training myself, through my father, who also very much had that. And, you know, the sense of a gambit, you know, of a sacrifice to move the chessboard forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Apparently he was a good chess player as well, which I think always helps in life.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, again, your book was great. Really enjoyed it. I hope more people, especially in our Chapel Hill listening audience, will get a hold of The Fire Agent by David Bayerwald. Any final
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know you would.
Well, nothing. It's just that, you know, actually, you know, the last, let's see if I can find a copy of it here. I've got a box of them somewhere. The last line of the acknowledgments is to the reader, and it says, there is one more person I'd like to thank. You, the person reading this book. After all, an unread book is just one hand clapping. So, So clap both hands and buy the book.
Well said, and read it and think about it, is what I would ask.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, David Bayerwald, author of The Fire Agent. And again, this has been Tofu Dave, your host on Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your
Thank you very
radio
much.
Station. You're welcome, Dave.
Thank you very much. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, and thank you for your kind words.